Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun He Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Two words of introduction. In our Mishnah, we had a Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim. How many stands were there in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol took out the blood? Yesterday we discussed at length. The Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood of the poor on the Kapiris. The Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood of the Sawyer on the Kapiris. Was there one stand to put that blood on, or two stands? Rabbi Yehuda said there was one stand. The Rabbanan said there were two stands. And Al Gemara is trying to understand what's the basis of that machlokes. In trying to explain that machlokes, the Gemara began quoting a sugya from Masechta Shkolim, that the Gemara Masechta Shkolim speaks about the different shofaris that there were in the Beis HaMikdash, and from that the Gemara proved that Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to signs, that you could put signs on the different pushkas, and therefore we now have a question even stronger, why according to Rabbi Yehuda couldn't we have two stands, and there's no reason to be concerned that the Kohen Gadol will get confused, because each stand will have its own sign, and we still need to understand that. But once the Gemara, as is usual, brings in the sugya from Masechta Shkolim, the Gemara now is in the middle of discussing that Gemara, that sugya. Because what is the issue at hand? The Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were only pushkis for kinei nedava. That if somebody donated a pair of birds, donated, for that there were pushkis. One pushka if he donated b'nei tyrant, and another pushka if they donated b'nei yoyna. There was no pushka if he was mechuy, if he was obligated to bring birds. Now, as we just explained, it can't be that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't have separate pushkas for the kinei chayva because he doesn't believe in signs, because Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Shkolim tells us there were 13 pushkas with 13 signs, so he certainly believes in signs. So now we need to understand why wasn't there pushkas also for the kinei chayva, and that's where we're up to. Kiyosar of Dimi, Omar, Amri b'marava, and at the Sra they explained that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow pushkas, shayfris, for the kinei chayva, gzerim shemchata shemesa b'leil. As we learned in this Masechta, that there's aloch l'mosh m'sinai, that if a person donates a karmchatas, and prior to he's able to offer it, he's nifter, there's aloch l'mosh m'sinai, that chatas should be left to die. So now we're concerned that if there would be a pashka, that a number of people put in money for karmchatas, for kinei chayva, which one bird is brought as a carbon oila and one bird is brought as a carbon chattis. And then prior to the bird being brought on the mizbeach, the person who donated it died. So now that carbon has to be left to die. It's one of the chattis amesis. And from here we see that it's not only a chattis behema, it's even a chattis haif, because we're talking about birds. So because there's this money mixed up in there, that's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want us to have a pushka, never to have this problem. So there's one question. You have perhaps a lot of money in there. It's not only one person's money, so it's in a bottle. So the Rishonim answer that since money is a davar chashuv, so it never becomes bottle. That is another question. And interesting, we're going to speak about this concept in two different directions today. The Siach Yitzchak asks, that yesterday we quoted a Tosfos on Amud Aleph, Tosfos the Ramaskal of Ne'at Haruvis. Tosfos said that even though everybody put their money into the pushka, everybody put their money in a separate envelope. So let's say we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all putting their money into an envelope, Reuven's envelope, Shimon's envelope, Levi's envelope. If Reuven dies, so we'll just pull out his money. They're all in separate envelopes. Answer the Siach Yitzchak. First of all, let's say you have two people with the same name. So we don't know which we have two Reuvens that donated money, and one of them dies, but we don't know which envelope is his. Another, as he says, is to rely on a system that everybody's putting their money in an envelope, and then we could easily find it, is not a system that Chazal wanted to rely on. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda didn't want to have a pushka for Chattis, because we may end up with money that can't be used, and since we can't identify that money, all of that money, all the money in the Pushka will become disqualified. Ami Merava, Gzerim Shem Chata Shemesa Balel. That the Chata's owner will die, and that money will become disqualified, and really disqualify everything in the Pushka. Ask the Gemara, Micha Shinan, are we concerned about people having died? But Tanan, there's a Mishnah Mesech Gittin. If somebody sends a karmi chatas from Medina Sayam, let's say, especially in those times, the time it takes for the animal to get from Chutzlar to Yisrael could be a considerable amount of time. We don't have to worry that the animal died, that the owner died before the animal arrived and is being ready to be offered. Why not? So we see that we assume that the person, Baruch Hashem, was alive when he sent the animal. He's still alive. So why all of a sudden now are we concerned that the owner died? So the Gvur Sari asks, how can you compare that case to this case? In the Gemara, in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, one individual sent a Karmi Chatas. One individual sent a Karmi Chatas. We don't have to be concerned that that one individual passed away. Our Gemara is talking about a Pushka that many people have their money in the Pushka. So for many people, maybe one of them did die. How could you compare the two cases? So now the Gevura Sari uses Taisus' concept in the other direction. He says, we don't look at it like many people. Since everybody's money is in a separate envelope, so everybody's money is separate. It's each we look at each individual separately. And each individual, just like the Mishnah Masechta Gittin tells us, we could assume is alive. Taisa asks, but there's a Gemara Masechta Gittin that says, when are we not concerned that the person died? Before he reached 80 years old. But once we're dealing with people that are 80 years old, then we have to be concerned. So maybe the person that sent the money was over 80, and we have to be concerned that maybe he passed away. So Taisa says two terutz. One terutz is, we have a double suffix here. We don't know that anybody sent the money was 80 years old. So first of all, we don't know if anybody was 80. And even if he was 80, that doesn't mean that if he's 80 years old, he's mechuyav misa. That's one teretz Taisa says. The other teretz Taisa says that concern is only regarding gittin, when we're dealing with eishes ish. There we have that concern. Here we're not dealing with eishes ish. But there's a very interesting point, not relevant to our Gemara, that the Pesach can extrapolate from this Gemara. The halach is that on Shabbos Yontif, not only are we supposed to rest, but the halach is our belongings, our animals, are not supposed to do avoda. So let's say somebody from Australia is sending a behemoth to Israel. So the question only in halacha is, where do we consider somebody's behemoth? Do we follow the place where the owner is, or do we follow the place where the actual animal is? So if the person from Australia sent the animal to Israel, and maybe and they're going to bring that animal on Friday as a carbon, for him it's Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do work with an animal. The fact that the Mishnah, the Gemara, doesn't make any qualifications is a raya that we don't go where the owner is, we follow where the actual animal is. And the animal's in Eretz Yisrael, so Shabbos is it according to what Shabbos is in Eretz Yisrael. So, as far as our Gemara, so we're back to where we started. We see from the Gemara over there that we're not concerned that the owner or somebody who contributed died. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda have a Pushka for the purse and for chayva? So the reason is mishum chata shemesa balei vaday. It's not a question that the owner might have died. We know for sure that one of the people that contributed to the pushka died, and now we have all this money mixed together. We don't know whose is what, and because of that, we're going to have to disqualify all the money. So to avoid such a problem, Rabbi Yehuda says don't have a pushka for kinei chayva. Ask the Gemara, even if we know that somebody died, so why do we have to disqualify all the money? Ask the Gemara, v'nivra arba zuzi, why don't you take out arba four zuz, v'nishda b'maya, throw it into the water, v'hanach nishtru, and the rest of the money will be mutter. So Rashi explains the value of every carbon was four zuz. So we take our four zuz and we assume that four zuz is the four zuz of the person who died, and the rest of the money is fine. That's, Taisha says it's four zuz is navdafka. We don't know for sure that they're worth four zuz. The Gemara just uses that terminology. So there's an obvious question when we learn this Gemara. Ritva's question. Let's say somebody has a pot of chickens cooking, and a non-kosher chicken falls into the pot. Did anybody ever say that, you know what we'll do? We'll pick out one chicken, and we'll say that that was the tray for chicken, and the rest are kosher. You can't do that. So here too, we're saying that we'll pick out, let's assume it was like this. We have three people, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Each put a $100 bill into the pushka, into the pushka chayva. Now Reuven is nifter. So the Gemara says, let's pick out a $100 bill, and we'll say it's Reuven's. How do you know it's Reuven's? Maybe the $100 bill is not Reuven's. And Reuven's, which became disqualified, is still there. So there are two terutzim given in the Rishonim. One terutz, very fundamental terutz in Hilchos Bittul, is when we speak about the tray for chicken that fell into the pot of kosher chicken. From the moment that tray for chicken fell into the pot, it was tray, it was not kosher. So the taruvus, when the taruvus occurred, there was a taruvus of Isser Veheter. In our case, when Reuven and Shimon and Levi each put their $100 bill into the pushka, they were all Baruch Hashem fine and well and alive. The Isser, the taruvus, only occurred later. So you can't compare the two situations. That's one teretz that the Rishonim attempt to give. Tosfos Rishonim gives a more lomdish teretz. He says, in a case with three people, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each put a $100 bill in the pushka, what they're saying, and the Tosfos Rishonim say they don't have to say it, even if they didn't come to the Daf Yomi Shir, and they're not such big lamdonim to know it, it's lay baz de masna, and it happens automatically, that each $100 bill is not my $100 bill. It's not that this $100 bill is Reuven's, this $100 bill is Shimon, this $100 bill is Levi's. Each $100 bill is there. And it's going to be used for whatever it could be used. So if the all Baruch Shem stay alive, so each $100 bill is used as needed. If, however, one of them passes away, what the Tanai Bezdin is, that we don't let the money that Reuven give be considered Reuven's, or the money Shimon gave be considered Shimon's, or the money Levi gave be considered Levi's. We let it be unidentified until we actually use it. So when we take out a $100 bill to throw to the Yam, because that became disqualified because he passed away, we say that that $100 bill was Reuven's. That's how Tosfos Rishonim learns the Gemara. Says the Gemara, using such a concept involves Breira. Retroactively assuming that this $100 bill was Reuven's, and this $100 bill was Shimon's, and this $100 bill was Levi's. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda les le Breira. And we begin now a sugya, which we have many times in Shas, the sugya Breira. What does Breira mean? Breira means to retroactively designate something, not at the time. Like in this case, that when we take the $100 bill out, even though it's long after it was put into the pushka, we retroactively say that this was Reuven's $100 bill. When we speak about Breira, it's always complicated because in Halacha there are three concepts that are very similar yet very different. One is the concept of Gilui Milsa. Everybody subscribes to the concept of Gilui Milsa. Gilui Milsa means that something actually happened, I don't know about it. And Gilui Milsa means that I later on find out. That isn't Breira. That isn't retroactive activation. That's just finding out something I didn't know till now. Everybody subscribes to Gilui Milsa. But then there are two other concepts that are seemingly very similar, yet not. One is Breira, which we're discussing, and the other is Tanai. Whenever we make a condition, let's say somebody, the Gemara Masechta Gittin, constantly talks about a person giving a get to his wife, Al Tanai. What the Tanai? He gives a get to his wife, and he says, if my wife will walk out that door, then the divorce should be effective. If not, not. So when he gave the get was waiting. We were in a suspended state. It only becomes retroactively activated when she actually walks out the door. So why is a Tanai not Breira? So there's a Machloikas Rashi and Ramban to how we differentiate between Breira and Tanai. Rashi says Tanai is something that's our control. Breira is something not in our control. That's how Rashi differentiates between Breira and Tanai. Walking out the door is up to his wife. If she walks out the door, she doesn't walk out the door. Here, him dying is not in his control. The Ramban differentiates between if there's only one thing there's only one condition versus two conditions. Meaning, he says like this, if somebody gives a get to his wife and says, if she, even if it's not in his control, he says, I'm giving my wife a get if it will rain today. So the rain is not in his control. But still the Ramban says that's a condition. But let's say somebody gives a get to his wife. Somebody has two wives. And he says like this. He has two wives, one is Rachel and one is Leah. He says, if it rains today, then I'm divorcing Rachel. The Rachel divorce is effective. And if it doesn't rain today, the Leah divorce is effective. Then that's Breira, not a Tanai. And Breira, as we're explaining, that's the third concept, is retroactive designation. So here we want that the $100 should be assumed to be Reuven's from before. He doesn't hold a retroactive designation. Ask the Gemara, Menolan. From here, where do we know that Yehuda doesn't subscribe to retroactive designation? Elaim Mahad Tanan, the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Halakeach Yaim Ben Akutim. Somebody buys wine from the Kutim. We know that the Kutims were a nation that were brought to Israel and converted. And the Gemara here assumes that their conversion was a legitimate conversion. But ultimately, they were caught worshipping idols. And somebody bought wine from them. So since they're considered Jews, the halacha is that if you buy wine from a Jew, from Eretz Yisrael, he has to take off Trumas and Maisrus. And we're concerned that the Kutim did not take off Trumas and Maisrus. So firstly, the Rishonim point out, if we bought wine, if this Kuti is an Oved Avodah Zarah, then the wine is Stam Yenam. So you know how to drink that wine even without the issue of Trumas and Maisrus. So Rashi explains that the Gemara here is referring before they started serving, worshipping Avodah Zarah, and since we assume that the Geiris was a legitimate Geiris, the wine is kosher. Another shot I was thinking is like in our world, the wine was pasteurized. It was made pasteurized, so there's no problem with Stam Yenam. Tysus asks another question. Why is the Gemara only focused that we bought wine from a guy, from a Kuti? And what if you buy wine from Amoritz? Amoritz also, we say throughout Shas, when concerned, doesn't take off Trumas and Maisrus. So there are three answers to that question. One answer to that question is that the Amoratzim were makbid on Trumas. They were not makbid on Maisrus. So since we assume that they're all makbid on Truma, and they usually makbid on Maisr, so we're not worried about Amoritz. Kutim weren't concerned not about Truma, not about Maisr. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that there's a pasuk in the Torah of Lifnei Evil Eisitei Mikshol. We know Lifnei Evil Eisitei Mikshol doesn't mean don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. It means that you shouldn't be Mikshol, another person. You shouldn't cause another person, another Jew, to do the wrong thing. That's, even Amoratzim agreed to that. So they were careful that they shouldn't cause another Jew to drink wine that wasn't properly Truma and Maaser removed. The Kutim define Lifnei Evil Eisitei Mikshol literally. So they have no problem having another Jew drink something non-kosher because of them. And the third teretz is it's a perspective towards Geneva. Truma, which goes to Kahanim, Maaserishin, which goes to Leviim, there is no specific Kohen or specific Levi that owns it. Any Kohen or Levi could receive it. So the Kutim said, not giving them their share is not Geneva, because there's no specific individual that could say, this belongs to me. However, we know that even though there's no one individual that could claim it's his, it is Geneva when you don't give it, because we look at all the Kahanim. And amongst all the Kahanim, somebody should have gotten the Truma. Amongst all the Levim, somebody should have gotten the Maisa. So that's why the Gemara focuses on Kutim. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the person bought wine from a Kuti, it's Friday afternoon right before Shabbos. He doesn't have vessels in which to separate the Truma and Maisa into, or he doesn't have tall vessels, we're not allowed to be Matama, Truma Meiser. And he needs the wine for Shabbos. There's a machloikus rishonim, what happened if he got the wine on Shabbos itself, if what the Gemara is going to tell us we could do, could be done even on Shabbos, or it's only Bein HaShemashes Friday afternoon where we could be making. But we'll learn the Gemara. Somebody bought the wine from a Kuti, Bein HaShemashes Erev Shabbos, in Cheshecha. And he wants to drink the wine, but there's the Truma Maisa that wasn't removed from it. And you're not allowed to drink Tevel. So what could he do? So Oymid V'Oymer, he goes up and he says, Shnei Lugim Shani Osir L'Hafish Reza Truma. 2 gallons, let's say it's a 100-gallon barrel, 2 gallons will be truma. Why? Because the Gemara says many times that even though midaraisa, chita akas, peteresis akri, 1 drop is adequate, Chazal told us that a generous person gives a 40th, an average person gives a 50th, a stingy person gives a 60th. So the Gemara is assuming that he's an average person, a 50th, 100 gallons, 2 gallons go for truma. Asara, Maiserishin. 10 are Maiserishin. That's truthfully not 10. It's really 9.8. Why? We started with 100 gallons. We deduct 2 for the truma. So we're down to 98. 10% of 98 is 9.8, not 10. So some Rishonim say the Gemara is using round numbers. It's really 9.8, but the Gemara says 10. I saw another beautiful pshat. We just said, Levim are going to like this pshat. We just said, Chita Akas Pateras is a Kree. Sumida Raisa, you start with 100 gallons. How much is the coin entitled to for Truma? Midaraisa? A drop. How much is the Levi entitled to for Meiser? 10 gallons, 10%. You decided that you want to be Frum. And you're not going to give just a drop. You're going to give 2 gallons. On whose Cheshbin are you being Frum? You're being Frum on the Levi's Cheshbin. That instead of him getting 10 gallons, he's only going to get 9.8. You want to be Frum on your own Cheshbin. You can't be Frum on somebody else's Cheshbin. That's why the Levi gets the 10. Tisha, so now we're down to 90, and again, maybe a little less than 90. So 90 goes to Maisa Shani. 10% of 90 is 9. We give that for Maisa Shani. Now, Maisa Shani, unlike Truma, and unlike Maisa Rishon, we could be paid, we could redeem immediately. So that, instead of relying on Breira, certainly the Mefarshim explained Breira is not something that we l'chatchila want to rely on, so you paid it right away. Omechel v'shoys miyad divrei meya. You automatically drink it. So there are a few points to make. First of all, you have to be paid it. There's a machleike, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, from here we see, that we have to designate, when we rely on saying this truma, this meiser, we shouldn't just say this truma meiser, we have to be very specific. There's machleike of Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yosher, and the Chazanish, if you could do the pidyon on the meiser sheni prior to actually separating out the Maisa Sheni. You know, designating it. Rav Shimon Shkop says, you have to first at least designate it, and then you can do the pidyon. Otherwise, it's a davar shelo b'loilim. It's too early. Chazanish says, since it's there in the barrel, even though you didn't physically say it, you could already do the pidyon. Now, there's an interesting shaila that Mefarshim asked. What's going to happen here? You have this barrel of wine, 100 gallons. 2 gallons, we said, are for Truma, we're only going to take it out after Shabbos. We can't separate out in Shabbos. 10 gallons of Maaser Rishon, we're also only going to take it out after Shabbos. It's only 12 gallons. Now we have 100 minus 12, 88 gallons I could drink. As long as I leave over 12 for after Shabbos, because we're going to, as we're saying now, we're relying on Breira. Retroactively, those were always the Truma and the Maaser. But we know there's a halacha of Kovash Kmevoshol, that if something kosher and non-kosher sit together, even if they're not cooked together, it's cold, if they're together for 24 hours, the tam from the non-kosher item goes into the kosher item. That's why if you'll have, let's say, a non-kosher beverage in a vessel for 24 hours, it's cold. The vessel becomes non-kosher, or the vessel becomes milchiks, if it's milk. So here we have sitting together in one vessel the truma and the meiser, together with the rest of my wine. So why doesn't it affect the rest of my wine? So the Sfas Emes, Chiddush, says that that halacha only applies to a vessel. But from one liquid to another liquid, we don't say kovish k'mavushal. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Michah Shlomo, says a beautiful Chiddush. He says, what am I doing here? I'm designating that the 10 gallons are meiser. The 2 gallons are truma. I'm only designating that they should be mice and truma. I'm not designating that the blias that come out of them should be truma mice. What are we worried? That there's blias coming out of the truma mice going into the rest of my wine. I never made them into truma mice, so I don't have to worry about their blias. So Ramea says we could go through this process, and we're actually relying on Breyer that retroactively we know when Matzah Shabbos will take out the 10 gallons for the Meiser, the 2 gallons for the Truma. Those were retroactively always the Truma and Meiser. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, Eitzrim. Why don't they rely on this? Alma and Breyer. They obviously don't subscribe to the Breyer. Says the Gemara, Mamai, who tells you that they don't subscribe to Breyer? Dumishami Hassam. There it's different. Koni Tami, as the Mishnah tells us there, Omle Ramea, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon told Ramea, Iatamoida, don't you agree that we should not rely on such a process? Because Shemi Yibakanoi, maybe this barrel in which you keep the Truma Maisa will break. Venimsa Shaisa Tfalon Mafreya. And now, with Matzah Shabbos, you wanted to take the 2 gallons for Truma. You want to take the 10 gallons for Maisa. You can't because it's lost. Vamalahem. So Ramea said, Lichashi Yibaka. I'm not worried about it. What should I not worry? Mefarshim explain. First of all, barrels normally don't break. Second of all, we're only talking about a short amount of time. It's till Matzoi Shabbos, so I'm not concerned about it. So the Gemara is saying, we thought that the reason Rabbi Yehuda was arguing with Ramea, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to Breira, and here we have a raya that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. So the Gemara, there's no raya that doesn't agree to Breira. Could be he agrees to Breira. There is a different consideration, Shem Yibaka Hanoit. And the Mefarshim explain, what was the Gemara's Havimina? The Mishnah is explicit that it's because of Shem Yibaka Anoit. What was the Gemara's Havimina that it had anything to do with Breira? So they explain, if the concern is that the briar will break, so let's say somebody will go through this process, and Baruch Shem, the barrel didn't break. So it should be effective. It's only a chash. If you did it, and you took a chance, and it worked out, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. So why do they use such a strong terminology of Eisrim? Eisrim means that even if you did it, it doesn't work. Why? But the evidence should work if your barrel didn't break. So that's what pointed us to believe that the reason was much deeper than Shema Yibaka Anoid. That the reason was because they don't believe in Breira. So the Gemara, no. Because of the concern of Shema Yibaka Anoid, they are so concerned that even B'dieved, they said, we can't rely on such a process. And even if you did it, B'dieved, it doesn't work. So again, what we're up to is, we're saying that the reason Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow us to have a pushka for Kinei Chayva was because maybe one of the people died, not maybe one of the people died, and we can't rely on Breira, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. Where do we see that he doesn't subscribe to Breira? Says the Gemara from a different place. El Medetani Ayoy, from what Ayoy taught us in Masechta Erevin. We know that in Shabbos, everybody has a Tchum Shabbos. That means on Shabbos, you're only allowed to walk 2,000 Amma from the end of your city. So Ayoy teaches us about such a situation. Tani Ayoy, let's say, says Ayoy, there's a rabbi come to the town, and the people want to go, somebody wants to go here or shear, but he doesn't know if the rav is coming from the east, on the east side or on the west side. The Tani Ayoy, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Masna Shnei Dvarim Kechad. A person cannot make a Tanai on both sides. Elam Bachachon LeMizrach, Eruv LeMizrach, LeMariv, Eruv LeMariv. If the person put down an Eruv on the east side and on the west side, and he says that if the Talmud Chacham is coming to the east side, that should be my effective Eruv. Talmud Chacham is coming to the west side, that should be my effective Eruv. Says Ayoy, it's okay. But if a person puts down 2 Eruvin, and he says, on Shabbos I'm going to decide which Eruv is okay, that's not acceptable. Vavinimbo, and understanding that, then we need to understand. Maishno lekan lekan, why if a person put an Eruv on the east side and on the west side, and he says, the 2 Talmud Chacham coming, once coming to the east side, once coming to the west side, I'm going to put down an Erev on both sides, and then on Shabbos I'll decide where I want to go. That's not acceptable, because Ein Breira. When is the Erev supposed to be effective? We spent this many times in Masechta Erevin. What's the defining moment? Bein Hashmashos. So you can't say that on Shabbos it should retroactively work to Bein Hashmashos, because he obviously doesn't hold a Breira. Ask the Gemara, LeMizrach Marav Nami, so even if he put down an Erev, where there's only one Talmud Chacham coming, he just doesn't know if he's coming on the east side or the west side, there it said that it will work, Why should it work? It's Breira. What happened? The person put down an Erev on the east side. The person put down an Erev on the west side. And he said that, I don't know when the Talmud Chacham is coming. I don't know which side the Talmud Chacham's come. I'll find out Shabbos when I get to Shul. And that's when I'll say, whatever side the Talmud Chacham came, the Erev should have been effective. Isn't that Breira? If we're saying that Yehuda doesn't agree to Breira, he shouldn't assume that even that Erev works. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kvar Kishvar Bar Chacham. The situation is that really the Talmud Chacham came Friday before Shabbos. Since the Talmud Chacham came before Shabbos, it was only I who wasn't aware. Because I wasn't aware. They didn't have telephones in those days. So the Erev really became effective. I, in a case where there's only one Talmud Chacham, and he came already Friday afternoon, either to the east side or to the west side. The moment he came to that side, it's a Tanai. It's a Tanai. A Tanai we said works. So that's why we don't have to rely on Breira, and even Rabbi Yehuda will say it's okay. However, in a case where there are two Talmid Chachamim, yes, both Talmid Chachamim came before Shabbos. One came to the east side, one came to the west side. When am I deciding which Erev should be effective? I'm only deciding on Shabbos. And I want it to work, it has to work, from Bein HaShemashos Friday afternoon. That's Breira. Breira we don't hold of. So that's proof that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Breira. A number of points to be made. One question is, Sfasemis asks, maybe there's no proof from Breira, from Erev. Because Erev, what does Erev accomplish? That where my Erev Tchumim is where I am. So Sfasemis says, you have to know where you live. You have to know where you live. So maybe Erev is different than Kala Tairagula. Sfasemis has a beautiful teretz. He says, the Gemara itself is showing us that Erev, you don't really have to know where you live. Because what happened? The Gemara says, if the Talmud Chacham came Friday afternoon, when did I find out? I only found out on Shabbos. The Gemara says that Erev is a good Erev. I didn't know where I was. If you're saying that an Erev is not Chal Misafik, it doesn't become effective when I'm not sure, why is that Erev effective? So we see that there is no such concept by Erev that you have to know for sure. Ramosha asks a different question. Ramosha asks that when we learned Masechta Erev, and we said this many times, that the halacha is that halacha can makel by Erev. So why are we not makel here? We're always makel by Erev. So Ramosha says, when do we say the concept that halacha can makel by Erev? When we have an existing Erev, we know that the Erev was effective. Now we start having Shailas, Halach Kamekel. Here, the Erev might have never been effective. There you can't say Halach Kamekel be'Erev. Rabbi Kiv Eger asks a question on the Ramban that we said at the beginning of the Shir. The Ramban said that what's the difference between a Tanai and a Breira? That a Tanai, according to Rashi, is something that's in my power. So here, it's in my power. I could want the east side, I could want the west side. But the Ramban said the difference between a Tanai that works and doesn't work, if it's one issue or two. So here it's two sides. So how could a Tanai work here? According to the Ramban's definition of a Tanai, he doesn't give an answer. Just as we finish the Sugya Breira, what's the halacha l'maisa? So most Rishonim say that the halacha is, by the Raisa we say Ein Breira, and by the Rabbanon we do rely on Breira. But there's a very big machlokes Rishonim, how to understand that. Some Rishonim say, simple. By the right side, always say Ein Breira. By the Rabbanon, we always say Yesh Breira. Others say, why do we say by the right side Ein Breira? Because since the halach is, as we've learned many times, Sotvik the right side l'chumra. So that's why I'm machmer, and I don't rely on Breira. Sotvik the Rabbanon l'kula, and that's why by the Rabbanon we're mekel, and we rely on Breira. Says the Ran. And what would be if saying Breira will be a Chumra? So maybe by the Raisa we should say Breira. The only reason you're not accepting Breira is because it's a Kula. And what would be if saying Breira is a Chumra? Then maybe you should say it. And the same thing by the Rabbanon. The only reason we're subscribing to Breira by the Rabbanon is because it's a Kula. And what would be if it's a Kula not to say Breira? So maybe there we shouldn't say Breira. So there's two ways of understanding that Psak. Now we come back to our Gemara, to Masechta Yuma. We said that Yehuda said there was only one stand. Rabbanan said there were two stands. In the previous year, we already proved, and we said it in today's introduction, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we can make signs. So now the question is, why can't we have two signs and have two stands? Ask the Gemara of a hashtadum in Rabbi Yehuda. Ein breira. Rabbi Yehuda Taka doesn't hold Ein breira. That's why he didn't have a pushka for the Kinei Chayva. Haksiv Isla, he does agree to signs. So back to the beginning. Yom Kippurim, never tray. Make two stands. For Nikhtavalei, that this is the pad blood and this is the sir blood. Answers the Gemara. Meshul Chalsha the Kohen Gadol Lavadate. The Kohen Gadol is weak and we're concerned he's not going to be able to pay attention to the signs. Dilei Teima Hachi, but like Sivanami, even without a sign, we don't need a sign. Hai Nafish, there's a lot of blood in a bull. Hai Zutter, there's not that much blood in a goat, so how are you going to get confused? So, it must be that Yehuda's concern for Chosh the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, V'chi Teima, perhaps you'll say, you can't rely on the blood of the bull being a lot. And the blood of the goat not being allowed. And that's how I could differentiate. Because dimulam kabbalah kule. Maybe you don't do kabbalah sadam on all the blood. And what, says the Sikh Yitzchak, the reason to believe that we don't have to do, beautiful Sikh Yitzchak, what's the reason to believe that we don't have to do kabbalah sadam on all of the blood of the par? Because when we learned the Mishnah about the shechita of the par, the Mishnah didn't say that somebody else should complete the shechita. What? We have the Kohen Gadol completing the Shechita. But if the Kohen Gadol completes the Shechita by the power, he loses some blood. So therefore, maybe we don't have to take all the blood. Says, well, that's not true. Because Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shechit Tzorach, Shechabal, is called Damai. When you shech the power, you have to get all the blood. As called Damai Shepar, Shenemar, Veskol, Dam, Hapar, Yishbech, Yisoid, Hamizbeach. So, what do you need? Signs. Even if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like signs, do you have this difference? V'chitema, even though you're supposed to l'chatchila take all the dam of the power, then mishtapach menei, and with the evid, let's say some of the blood of the power spilled out, it's still going to be acceptable as long as you have enough dam to do zricha. So now you can't rely on this being a lot and this being not that much. There's still a different differentiation, a different distinction between the power blood and the saw blood. Ha'chiver v'hai sumik, the blood of a goat is lighter than the blood of the par. So now the question is, even if, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda have two stands? Says the Gemara, I'm shum the chush the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is weak, he's fasting, he's doing all this to work, lavadate, he won't pay attention. Hachanami, even with a sign, mishum chush the Kohen Gadol, lavadate. So the Meiri says, lemaskonos ha-Gemara, according to the Rabbanan, we don't need signs. Because there are enough distinctions without the signs. The blood of the power is more. The blood of the power is a different color. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that says Chosh the Kohen Gadol, and he doesn't rely on any distinctions, even signs. So I saw a Chassidus Shavart from the Sefer Or Chaima, very powerful Vart. He says, you're right. Like the Gemara says, you can't rely that the power has more blood than the sire, because the power, that blood might have spilled out. Color, also, not everybody's such an expert to tell the difference in color. But a sign, you don't have to be a huge, brilliant person to read a sign. And this will say power, and this will say sire. So we still have the original Shaila. Why, according to Yehuda, don't we make signs? Says the Sefer Or Chaima. It's Yom Kippur. It's the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah and the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The most important Avodah of the year. The Satan will do everything in his power to prevent that Avodah to come off successfully. Yeah, there'll be a sign. And the sign will be in big letters. Par, Sire. But the Satan gets in the way of the Kohen Gadol. And Yehuda knew that. And that's why he didn't want to rely on anything, even the signs. Says the Gemara, Hahud Nachas Kamei Derava. There was a bat tefila. They already started having this minig that by the davening on Yom Kippur they said the avoida as we do. So it was a bat tefila that came in front of Rava Omar, and he said in the nusach of the avoida as we say the nusach of avoida by Musaf Yotzev Anichal Kan Sheni Shebehechel. They took the sore blood and they put it on the second stand, and Notel Dama Par v'nicha dam asar, and then he picked up the par blood and then and took the sar blood. Amalei, so he said, your nusach is a mixture. Chaduk rabbanon. On one hand, you're saying like the rabbanon because you're saying there were two stains. On the other hand, v'chaduk Reb Yehuda, you're saying like Reb Yehuda because according to Reb Yehuda, they first took the sar blood and then they first took the par blood and then put down the sar blood. But according to the rabbanon, they first put down the sar blood and then they picked up the par blood. So you can't. You have to be consistent. If you hold like the Rabbanan, you should have said Hiniach Dama Sawyer and then Notal Dama Par. And if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you shouldn't say the two stains. Ema, so Itaka changed, and he said Hiniach Dama Sawyer, put down the Dama Sawyer, the Notal Dama Par, and then he took the Dama Par. And like we explained when we learned the Mishnah, this is relevant La Loch Lamaisa. Because the Paiskim say that when there are two Sifrei Torah to read, so we read from one. We don't first do Hagba Galila on the one we read and then put down the second sefer that we're going to read. Rather, we first put down Hiniach. We take the Dama Par, the sefer that we're going to use now, which is the second sefer Torah. And then we do Hagba Galila on the first sefer. Although the Magen Avraham asks that that's going according to Yehuda. But according to Rabbanim, we don't do that. So why not? So the Magen Avraham and the Megdash Tavit explain, by our case, we have no choice. We want to do everything with the right hand. So if the Kohen Gadol is walking out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Dama Sar in the right hand, and he also has to pick up the Dama Par with the right hand, he has no choice but to first put down the Dama Sar and then pick up the Dama Par. However, in the case where you have the two Sefer Torah with, you don't have that issue. So certainly first take the Sefer Torah that you're going to read from and then do Hagba Galila on the Sefer Torah that you read from already.